This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Chickens? Are those turkeys?
Who are these people? What is this?
It's Silly Sunday, apparently, here on
Silly Sunday Free Talk Live.
If you don't know what Free Talk Live is, well, you're listening to it. We are a live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever's on your mind. The phones are packed right now, so if you're trying to get in, please keep trying. We'll try to get to all of your calls as soon as we can. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Let's just get started. Let's go to unscreened wireless caller here on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
Hello?
Hello. What's your name? You're live on the radio.
Hey, what's up? Hey, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's on screen. Yeah, I don't really care. But, yeah, my name's Scotty Good.
Hey, Scotty. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's on your mind?
Yeah, what do you guys want to talk about? Talk about any subject.
Well,
I mean, that's like, not really how this works.
Yeah, you're supposed to have something to talk about when you call us.
Well, I can talk about a lot of things, but, yeah, any subject you want, other than that, I'll just talk about
it. It's like we've called our own show. We're in, like, a time loop.
Right. Captain, do you want me to call in? I'll call in as a wireless call.
do you have any opinion on this Javier Milei guy? He won the president of Argentina.
Yeah, I don't know about, other than outside of America, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, no. Okay, all right.
Well, yeah, I'm in. So I'm in Portsmouth area, New Hampshire.
All right.
Yeah. So basically, I guess if you want to talk about something that's gone down, that's outside of the realm of probably what you talk about.
I tell you what, Scotty. When you decide something you want to talk about, give us a call back, man. Thanks.
I think he was getting there. I think he was trying to.
I'm feeling intolerant today. So intolerant, in fact, that we're going to go to Skeeter in California.
Yeah.
Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's your boy, the evolutionary capitalist, young Skeet.
All right, I'm going to say this one more time. You're not my boy. You're not Nikki's boy. You're not Steve's boy. So you may be a boy, but not our boy.
Yeah.
We did not spawn you.
Okay, so... But I heard you talking about, like, how, like, you always consider the other opinion. Don't kid yourself, Captain Boy. You're as closed-minded as your average statist. And you shut yourself off to exploring unpopular opinion and blindly side with your libertarian echo chamber. And you unfairly moderate debates. You cut people off. And
you mean like this? I mean, I don't think I do that. Do I do that?
No.
But we're in an echo chamber, so, you know, it's irrelevant. Yeah. Right?
Only to Skeeter.
I just heard cut people off, cut people off, cut people off.
Cut
the echo chamber, cut people off.
Yeah.
Yes. Free Talk Live. Where
somebody get the bug zapper. Where's the tennis racket?
Where you can call in and insult host of your choice. You know.
Imagine that. Like, he has this time, right? And it's like, you can say anything you want. Like, you could say something of value. You could be like, this is the cure for cancer, or whatever. Yeah. Like, something, like, really amazing. And he is just like, yeah, boy.
It's your boy, and you suck.
He's like,
fire.
It's like, listen.
It's like a more retarded version of Butthead.
I know, I was just going to say that. Yeah, see?
But call back next week.
All right, I don't want to rip on the guy too much here. Let's go to, I believe this is Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I found an article from The Intercept from a few years ago written by Mehdi Hassan and, not sure if I'm going to pronounce this name right, but Dina Sayeda Ahmed.
What's the article?
Anyway, it's called Blowback, How Israel Went from Helping Create Hamas to Bombing It. And
And
basically, they claimed that Hamas was directly but covertly funded and armed by the State of Israel.
Specifically,
General Brigadier Yitzhak Segev is interviewed in the New York Times, and they cite that. And basically, he was the Israeli military advisor, governor in Gaza in the early 1980s. And you get into the article, and basically, like, he admits, they're like, yeah, they gave me money to go to this, like, fringe group and basically start. They gave me a budget.
Okay.
Anyway, these facts are things that most people don't know about. And, you know, if you look it up, you'll find it yourself. And there's another article from the Times of Israel called For Years Netanyahu Propped Up Hamas, and Now It's Blown Up in Our Faces. That one was written directly after the attack at the concert, but the other one was written in 2018. Anyway, I'm extremely nervous calling in today for some reason, so I'm going to go ahead and drop off the line.
All right. Hey, we appreciate the call, man. Feel free to call again.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. I'm not surprised at the information in these articles. Mm-hmm. Statism is so evil that it creates its own hell and then tries to sell you the solution that they are the solution to the own hell that they've created. For example, long time ago, before maybe Bush 1, I think, or during Bush 1, perhaps, the United States was giving money and weapons to something called the Afghani Freedom Fighters.
The Mujahideen.
The terminology used on American television was Afghani Freedom Fighters.
Right. Because, headed by a guy named Tim Osmond.
Right, because you know, normal U.S. people, public schooled U.S. people, they can't pronounce
over
that,
there,
you know,
that
whatever,
the...
but they can get their brain around Afghani Freedom Fighters, right? This later became the Taliban. That's right. The United States created the Taliban, right? They funded them. They gave them weapons. They gave them arms. They trained them, right, through various alphabet agencies. And then that became the Taliban.
Yeah.
And who was the gentleman you mentioned?
Oh, Tim Osmond.
Tim Osmond, yeah. Also known as?
Osama bin Laden.
That's right.
Yeah. Sits on the board of Iridium Satellite. Well, I don't know if he still does or not. He died before 9/11.
So, yes, blowback. Blowback is why 9/11 happened, in my opinion. Right? I can't say that for a fact.
You can't take that to court.
But if you as a an entity, and in this case, the United States of America, the entity, the government of, right, the military of the United States of America, has been bombing and otherwise interfering in matters in the Middle East since before I was born, and I'm 51 years old. So, like, when you do that, when you bomb enough people, when you wreck enough lives, do you think that they're going to, like, the children who grow up under that, who are they going to target their anger at? Are they going to target their parents? Are they going to target their neighborhood? No, they're going to target this weird military entity that has red, white, and blue stripes on their shoulders and carrying guns around and is bombing them and their families and their cities. So, to the extent that terrorism is conducted against the U.S., it seems to be a result of blowback.
I agree there. But, I mean, a lot of that stuff, you can also look at the same way domestically. You know, the FBI will try to entrap someone into doing, you know, like, oh, let's go kidnap the governor, or let's start a meth lab or whatever. And then they set people up. Basically,
They do. and they need to stop. Like, the whole idea of statism needs to stop. The idea that somehow winning a popularity contest ascribes more rights to certain people than others is one of the worst challenges humanity has in front of them.
Yeah.
Like it is horrible that humans believe that this is correct, this is right, this is righteous, this is moral. It's not. It's completely immoral. No other set of humans has more rights than you.
Hmm.
However, most people believe that, oh, because they have a badge or they have an ID that says some alphabet agency on it, or they were elected by, you know, as a politician in their, I don't care what level it is. It's local, it's state, it's federal. I mean, yes, federal is far worse than local and state, right? And if you really want to try and get something done through voting, local is where you're going to have the most impact.
Right.
But that being said, somebody still loses their choice in any election. Right? Because if it's a 51-49% win versus loss, well, now the 51% are forcing their perspective on the 49%.
Right. And then it just goes back and forth. Like, this pendulum swings in the other direction. It just keeps getting more extreme.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so every certain period of time, some other subsection of the population is having the guns of government pointed at them, forcing them to the way of, we'll call it, the majority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that is like saying, oh, I'm okay with gang rape.
Right.
Yeah, and we've already established or discussed earlier in the show that just because the majority believes in something doesn't mean it's the right thing.
Right. Yeah,
popular opinion says.
Like, I go back to World War II and the internment camps for the Japanese.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was, like, it was popular to want that.
Yeah.
Like,
unless you were Japanese, probably.
Oh, that's right, yeah. But, I mean, like, the overwhelming majority of the people in the United States, at least according to surveys and polls and, of course, historical action and newspapers and that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Were like, yeah, no, go ahead, round them up.
Right. Yeah, it's like these presidential candidates now. It's like, yeah, let's, you know, Israel has the right to do whatever it wants. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on. Like, and we're going to fund that? Like, no. Stop.
Yeah. I think I know who this caller is, but let's find out. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, yeah, it's Dave in New Hampshire, a.k.a. Ridley Report.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Ridley.
So, Ian Freeman, I'm happy to report, is not the only New Hampshireite who has fought the feds in court rather than just, you know, caving. So another man, Trevor Frizzell of Stratford, New Hampshire, has fought his, they attempted to convict him of assaulting a postal worker.
Really?
A postal worker grabbed him from behind and he turned around and fought back.
Okay.
So they took him to trial, tried to give him 20 years.
That's crazy. Are postal workers like cops now? That sounds like such a strange thing, right? Like, I couldn't imagine, like, being physically assaulted by the mail. I mean, I'm sure it might have happened, but I couldn't imagine being physically assaulted by the mailman, right?
I think they're just a domestic spy agency.
So,
while they drive around in their cars.
Like, I remember, and I bring this up frequently, but I'm going to bring it up again. I remember way back in the day before active shooter, the phrase, existed, before mass shooting, the phrase, existed. I remember there being at least one mass shooting that I remember, and it spawned a catchphrase that is still around today, albeit mostly amongst the older folks. It's called going postal.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's where this all started. It didn't start with, like, somebody showing up at a movie theater or, a, you know, a school playground or going into a hospital or whatever it is. It started at the post office, right? And so the term going postal was invented to be like, dude, chill out. Don't go postal on us, man.
Right.
And it was a postal worker or some random guy?
Yeah, no, it was a postal worker.
It was a chain of events.
Yeah. So, anyway, Dave, go ahead.
So the story begins with this guy was going, you know, they pull that trick, you know, where they come up to your door. Oh, you're not home? Well, we're going to hold your mail hostage at the post office, you know. And so the guy goes to the post office to try to get his mail. And he's like, oh, yeah, we don't have it. It's still in the truck. And we close at 4. He's like, well, I work every day. How do I get here to ever pick the thing up? And so they to their credit, the post office gets arranged, okay, you can, here's where you can find the mail carrier. You can pick it up from him directly at the Jeep, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes there, finds the guy, and the guy won't get in the mail. Unless he jumps through some hoops, I guess he wants him to show, you know, to use a key on something. And so the guy sees his package right there in the back of the van or whatever, and he just kind of goes and gets his package, right? Is my understanding. And that's when the guy grabs him. The reason this shouldn't have been taken to trial, though, at all in the first place is because the postal worker, I guess, had a history of problems, right? So he'd been fired.
He was going postal.
Yeah, he changed his story a bunch of times already before, really, before the trial and everything. So the Fed should have just saved this victim of their wrath, any more of their wrath, right? But the prosecutor, you know, just like a robot, well, we don't really care if we damage this guy's life and end it with attorney's fees. We're just going to keep at it. Anyway, but it went all the way through the trial process, 5-day trial. He chose to fight it, and he won.
Yeah.
That's really unusual.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Kudos to his attorneys. I'm sure that it cost him a whole bunch of money. I'm sure that it cost him a whole bunch of time to fight this thing. Hopefully he can find, some sense of relief in having won. Hopefully he can figure out some way to, recover some of that money since he won.
I hope he gets his mail.
Yeah, and hopefully
get that package.
His mail service doesn't suffer as a result.
But, they also say you should believe what you see, not what you hear. So I hear bad things about the post office. But let me tell you, I've had plenty of the same problems. I know not to assault them, even in retaliation.
Yeah.
They're always doing that to me, holding my stuff hostage at the post office. And my dad has had a lot of problems with them too. It's just, we're all having problems with them. They need to stop being funded by the federal government and just be their own private institutions.
Yeah. Well, they're going bankrupt.
Yeah.
They've been having financial problems for a very long time.
It should be broken up into, FedEx gets a little bit of it, UPS gets a little bit, DHL
well,
gets a little
they
bit.
They have a Amazon monopoly on letter-sized things.
Yes, right. So you can't get a letter with anyone else besides the USPS.
Right.
Unless you put it in a box.
Unless you put it in the big
unless you put it in a box and pay a bunch of money for it.
Right,
yeah.
Now, so, yeah, you're right. It would be absolutely easy for other entities to absorb what the post office is doing, but it's this pseudo-government agency. We did a story maybe last year, maybe a little more than a year ago, about the post office has hired people to monitor your social media.
What? Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they're still doing it, by the way.
Wow.
So it's this pseudo-government agency, right? They're like, the government's like, well, they're not really part of the government. They're sort of independent. And then the post office is like, well, we're kind of part of the government. We're not really independent. And it's like, well, who's telling the truth?
Yeah, it's a federal entity, technically.
They were part of the raid on your talk show.
Yeah, they were.
Where you're sitting.
Yep.
And the other thing, they threatened me for trying to run a video camera. Outside the post office on in Manchester, on Goss Falls. And another time, I went outside and protested on the right-of-way, and a guy came up and accosted me while I was out on the right-of-way protesting against the post office behavior. So that's just me, right? And I'm not even oriented toward the post office, right?
Right. Yeah, this happens not only with postal workers, but with, really anybody employed by a government entity. Right. They have this, I don't know, this self-righteous attitude because they think they have power.
Yeah.
Right. They I work on the Parks and Rec board and I will blah, blah, blah. Right. Because that's all the power that they have. Right. It's like that's the only thing that they can exercise in their life to make them feel like they're, on top of it or whatever. Right.
Well, so a good example is watch Press NH Now videos. of him going into the post office, and people go crazy. He's got a camera.
Yeah.
You know, or a town hall. It's like, well, you people have, I'll turn my camera off when you turn all your cameras off.
Right.
And they don't know how to do it. So he flips it on them, and basically he's in the right.
Yeah. Yeah, President H is great. Breaking the flaw, too. Those guys, these First Amendment auditors are pretty great. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, and by the way, that last guy who accosted me was also a postal worker.
Going postal.
Killing me surprised. Yeah. Did you know that it is impossible for you to not receive mail at your house? Like the best you can do.
No.
To like if you just don't ever want to receive mail from the post office, you can't turn them off. The best you can do is put it on pause for a period of time, like you're going on vacation. Like, I'm going to be out of town for like 4 weeks. You go online or you go to the post office, fill out a thing. Like, I'm going to be gone from this date to this date.
Yeah.
But there's a limit to, like, I think it's a 4 week limit or something before and that's it. After that 4 weeks expires, you will begin receiving mail. I know this because I was a victim of identity theft. I was living in an apartment, and, you know, they get the big row of, you know, 100 mailboxes or whatever. And some guy had come by and just opened willy-nilly every mailbox that he could and stole people's mail. And then, tried to, like, defraud people out of stuff, mm-hmm. right? They got a hold of some paperwork that I had from the unemployment office that contained my Social Security number, my address, my spelling of my slave name, you know, everything proper,
right.
All that kind of stuff. And they attempted to open some credit cards in my name, which they quickly found out they couldn't do it because my credit sucked.
Yeah, you're like, sorry, you're ripping off the wrong guy.
So, like, you know, having crappy credit can be a self-defense move. I didn't intend for that to happen. It just was the case.
It just worked out.
When I was younger, anyway. And so I get this certified letter, right? Like the postal guy knocks on my actual apartment door because you got to sign for this thing, registered mail. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And I open it up, and it's a copy of the stuff that this guy stole. Turns out this guy's name was Charles Berry. So the tale is Chuck Berry stole my mail. Right?
That'd be a good song.
I'm not even like joking. Charles,
song about it.
Charles, a.k.a. Chuck Berry, was written on this document.
Wow.
And so I had to like sign some stuff. Yeah, this was my stuff or whatever, you know. And I found out later he was convicted of, you know, mail theft and, you know, assorted things of fraud. So I move out of that apartment into a different apartment. And because of the identity theft, I didn't want – I opened a private mailbox, right? One of these like – kind of like a UPS store kind of a thing, not a post office box, but like a PMB, a private mailbox. And so I open one of them, and I put in a change of address when I leave this apartment for all my mail to get forwarded to the private mailbox, and I never gave anyone my new address, right? So I moved into this new apartment, never gave anyone my address.
The real address.
The real address. It was like a two-story, like duplex type situation. I was in the lower. And so there was a thing inside of the mailbox on the side of the house that just said vacant. And I just left it there, and I didn't get mail for a while. And then one day, the mail carrier changed. All of a sudden, I started getting mail. I had a fight with the post office. They're like, sorry, you just can't turn it off. It's not possible. Dave, thank you for the call. We appreciate you.
DaveRidley.com.
DaveRidley.com. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Former President Carter has released a statement following the passing of his wife, Rosalynn Carter. In the statement, Carter said that Rosalynn was his equal partner in everything he ever accomplished. He added that as long as she was in his world, He always knew somebody loved and supported him. The wife of the nation's 39th president, Rosalynn Carter, died at the age of 96. Congressman Jamie Raskin says an Israeli-Hamas ceasefire needs to include the release of hostages and the removal of Hamas, speaking on CNN's State of the Union.
The hostages must be released. That is a humanitarian crisis in itself. There is a humanitarian crisis within Gaza.
He also referred to Hamas as a terrorist medieval death cult. Donald Trump rallied supporters in West Central Iowa Saturday as part of his efforts to mobilize those supporters and volunteers ahead of the state's upcoming caucuses. Dave Collins, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
We are a live call-in radio program syndicated nationally on 180 or so radio stations. We're on the internet over at freetalklive.com, over at watch.freetalklive.com, twitch.freetalklive.com. I'm forgetting something, but, you know, you get the idea. We're on, like, some satellite stations, too,
yeah,
somehow.
Yeah, many things.
You know.
Some aliens pick up our frequencies.
Chinese weather balloons.
We are. Yep. We are intergalactic in that respect because radio broadcasts actually do travel beyond the atmosphere of planet Earth.
Every sound does.
And into outer space.
Mm-hmm. Every sound just continues.
Space isn't real.
Is it redundant to say outer space?
Fake news. Like, space isn't
fake
real.
Fake news, flat Earth,
like,
whatever.
Is it, you know, I mean, because we don't refer to anything within the atmosphere as inner space, do we?
Well, it's your inner space of yourself. It's like your inner space.
Okay, but...
like, outer space?
It seems redundant.
Space.
Space.
Like, space.
The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Sunday edition of Free Talk Live.
Captain's Log.
Before we go on, I have to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. I think I mentioned this earlier tonight, but I used Dash to do a transaction to get a gift card on bitrefill.com. And because Well, Bitcoin's been on a roll lately. It's been going up in price. It busted through 37,000 at some point.
Mm-hmm. And, still back there.
But the transaction fees are high, right? Because
unless you wait.
Right. The higher the price, the more congested the network, the higher the fees.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I want to buy a gift card for somebody. But, oh, no, it's going to cost me too much in fees, right? And so I'm like,
$10 gift card with $20 in fees.
Yeah. Does Bitrefill take Dash? Yes, they do, as a matter of fact. And so I'm like, oh, let me try using Dash for my Amazon gift card here. Hmm. And I did. And, like, I don't know if it was last night that I talked about this, but when you do this gift card thing, you just put in an email address that you want the confirmation to go to. And then you choose what cryptocurrency, in this case, Dash. I chose Dash. And then it presents you a QR code. And you scan that with your crypto wallet.
So how do you get a QR code on your phone and scan it on your phone at the same time?
No, you don't get it on the phone.
Oh.
There's also a thing with the whole thing written underneath it. You just hit copy.
Oh, okay.
And it'll copy the long string.
Oh, yeah.
So in my case, I was on a computer, right, doing on bitrefill.com, right? And so it generated a QR code. I used my phone to scan it on my computer screen, right? And then normally what happens is you get one email that says, hey, we've detected your transaction. Please wait while the confirmations come through, and then once it's all confirmed, we'll send you another email that says, okay, it's confirmed. Mm-hmm. Click here to get your redemption code.
So you don't have someone, like, stealing your mail in the mailbox.
Right. Or if you accidentally closed the browser window you were looking at.
And someone scanned it.
Or no, I mean, like, because the browser will refresh and then give you the code, but if you accidentally close the browser, you don't have to worry about it because they're going to send you an email with the code anyway, right? Or the link to look at the thing. So normally that's what happens. It's a two-step process. You get the, we've detected your transaction, then you got to wait for a while. You get another email that says, hey, your transaction has been confirmed.
Good to go.
Click this link, grab your code, redeem it, put it in your Amazon account, go spend.
Wow.
Right? Now, what happened to me, though, was I used Dash, and Dash is way faster than any other cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually got, I got both of those emails, but I got the fully confirmed one first, and then I got the, hey, we've detected your transaction one, like you know, within 30 seconds
that's
after
fast.
That. So it was so fast that Bitrefill not only processed the order, but it sent me the full confirmation before it sent me the, hey, we've detected your transaction, please wait.
The server is slower than
Dash. I thought that was pretty good. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Again, Dash.org. All right. Let's go to this unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
What's up?
Hey, what's your name?
Hey, Scotty, I just called.
Oh, do you finally have a topic?
Yeah, no, yeah, anything that we talk about, that's what I said.
Well, no, I told you to call back when...
LRN.FM.
Sorry, Scotty.
He's not very good.
Sorry, Scotty. You can't say those words. And, well, yep. Try again another night, bro. Free talk live. No cussing on the radio, guys.
We don't really have that many rules. It's really like, what you want to talk about, and don't use the
bad
words.
Yeah, don't use the bad words.
You know, and we even give you a few, like, and this isn't us, this is FCC, but there's even, like, a couple bad words that you can use. You just can't use, like, the really...
I don't really want
to... The really,
I don't really
bad
wanna,
ones.
Like, get into that, because, like, callers will get the wrong idea, like the previous caller. They'd be like, oh, well, what are they? Like, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to highlight
Google
that.
Google it.
Yeah, yeah. Occasionally, we walk the line here on Free Talk Live, but we don't cross that line. And sadly, it is an illustration of how horrible government is, because there's this organization called the FCC that claims to own the air.
Yeah.
They own the air. Between them and the FCC, right? They claim to own the entire atmosphere. So
outer space.
Who did they buy it from?
God.
I don't think so. What kind of currency does God take?
God, we trust all of this fake cash.
Right, yeah, right? Cold hard cash.
It'll be the greatest cash.
You got to be very proud.
All right, we do have a number two story tonight.
Yes!
Woo! Finally, I've been waiting.
In the second hour, you always get the number
two. I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were waiting.
You better go.
You should have been there looking at the watch. Tapping your hand.
Yeah. No, like, I really got to go.
Come on. Waiting for the number two story.
Get to the number two story.
This from ScriptsNews.com. Yet another website I've never heard of. Forget Black Friday. Plumbers prepare for Brown Friday.
Oh, no.
Roto-Rooter, that's a
plumbing
servicing company. Yeah, they
drain cleaning.
They usually put a snake down your pipe.
Hey.
Sounds like a euphemism.
Keep it clean.
It's not a big clunky hard drive.
Oh, man.
Roto-Rooter is encouraging Americans to get their plungers ready as the company sees a spike in calls the day after Thanksgiving. You've heard of Black Friday? No. It's Brown Friday.
This is very American. You know what I mean? This really encaptures the essence of America.
This is hard to read.
With a straight face.
Because it's funny. One of the nation's largest plumbing repair companies said it expects to be quite busy the day after Thanksgiving on a day it dubs Brown Friday. Roto-Rooter said it experiences a 50% increase in call volume the day after Thanksgiving compared to an average Friday.
Who'd like to be working at that call center?
Well, and like if you think about it, right? Like, okay, once or twice a year, somebody's hosting a thing, right? You go over to somebody's house, the house gets packed with people, right? And everybody's got to, well, you know, take care of business.
Yeah.
In the one or two toilets that may be available to them, depending on, you know, how many bathrooms are available in the house or whatever. And so, yeah, I can totally see this. I'm actually surprised it's not higher than 50%.
Oh, my gosh.
The company also said it had a 21% uptick in business over any other four-day weekend period. So 50% on Brown Friday and another 21% for the full holiday weekend.
Wow.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah.
What can Brown do for you?
Oh, wait, wrong business. Different company. Get that package we sent you? It was pretty big.
The label wouldn't stick to it.
You open it up.
Oh, the company said Thanksgiving gatherings and meals can overload kitchen sinks, garbage disposals, toilets, and main sewers.
Oh, I think people are probably pouring turkey grease down their sink, which is just dump all that gravy right down your sink. That'll clog up your pipes.
Yeah, it turns into gelatin.
Yeah, and if you have a septic tank, forget it. You might as well just rip it up.
Didn't something like the Jetsons, the cartoon, like predict that like at some point we would just have like food supplement pills with turkey written on it?
Yeah,
right.
Boring.
Probably close. Your own, Beyond meat.
Pop my turkey pill.
So sad.
It expands in your stomach.
Like that just made me, you know, I want to think about that.
You don't have a pill for Thanksgiving?
No, I love cooking, love eating.
You ever see those dinosaur pills? It's like a...
Yeah! It turns into a sponge.
Like it expands. So if you had the turkey pill, it probably comes out like a turkey. It expands in your stomach.
I remember the...
Fills you up.
I remember the opposite of that. They were called Shrinky Dinks.
Shrinky Dinks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They were these large plastic things, and you would have to, like, warm up the oven, right? And then you would put one on, like, a cookie sheet or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
And it shrinks. It becomes a smaller version of itself.
Like a little dinosaur.
And this was for, this was like a children's thing, you know?
Does
like,
it ever get bigger, or once you do
no,
that,
no, it
that's
just goes one way, and that's it. Yeah.
Oh, that's boring.
Yeah. Well, it's like sea monkeys. You ever see that in the back?
Yes.
Of like a, those are just brine shrimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all they are.
It's kind of weird that they're all dried up in there, and then you
come back to life.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
That's what happens to yeast.
Yeah.
So,
but,
you know, it's not.
I mean,
uncommon.
A shrimp's a little bit more than a bacteria, though.
Can you still buy sea monkeys?
Or a yeast.
Oh, I imagine.
You can, you can get them on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going there now.
Yeah, you totally can.
Well, you do that.
I've had sea monkeys
with my
recently.
Bit refill, I'm going.
Right, yeah.
I'm going there.
Really?
Dash well spent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had sea.
You bought sea monkeys with Dash?
No,
I'm not
going to
do that right now.
She's going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my bit refill and get some sea monkeys.
Do it.
We'll bring them in next Sunday.
It'll be like the studio pet.
Studio pet.
The article continues.
Coconut, don't drink that. Sorry.
The article continues. No? Okay, all right.
The captain continues. I'm sorry, I'm looking for sea monkeys.
Extra guests mean more toilet flushes, showers, dishwasher, and laundry loads, and extra garbage disposal usage. Simply put, Thanksgiving puts a heavy strain on American plumbing systems, and it keeps our plumbers super busy the next day, said Paul Abrams, a Roto-Rooter spokesman. Okay, so, dear listeners, if you don't know what a compost pile is, learn. If you have a garden, it's so beneficial for you to have a compost pile.
Don't put your turkey carcass out there, though.
Why not?
Because that doesn't really compost.
Sure it does.
You can throw that out to your chickens.
It will eventually.
Yeah. Chickens will devour a turkey carcass. Right down the nose.
And a chicken carcass.
Yeah, and they'll eat a chicken carcass.
But you can throw the turkey carcass in the regular trash.
Yeah.
Right, so
yeah.
I'm not talking about flushing it on the toilet.
Well,
don't
do that.
But don't
put your grease broth with it. Oh, my gosh, what a waste.
Well, okay, but then, you know, I mean, it's not like the carcass melts down into broth, right? There's still
then you have to, yeah, you still have
over.
To,
you still have
you
to
know,
dispose
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, it's true.
Somewhere.
True, true.
Now, turkey grease is, it is just terrible. There's so much grease out of a turkey.
Yeah.
Even if you make broth, like you make a
where all the flavor is.
It's really good for your skin.
But you got to get
where
rid
the
of
flavor
that.
Is.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it?
Good for the skin, bad for the sink.
Yeah. Yeah right. Right. Yeah. We're talking Roto-Rooter. Roto-Rooter doesn't care what it tastes like.
Well.
They just see that it's clogged up.
Yeah, I hope they don't care what it tastes like.
Or smells like. They don't care what it smells like. Well, maybe they do.
It's kind of gross. So yeah, it puts a strain on. Your systems, according to Yelp, Portland, Oregon, had the highest number of searches related to emergency plumbers, including clogged up toilets and leaky faucets on Brown Friday. Virginia Beach, Virginia, Raleigh, North Carolina, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Jacksonville, Florida round out the top five for Brown Friday related searches.
Crazy.
This really is our number two
story. Yeah, this is like the number one, number two story.
At least oh, yeah. this winter. Roto-Rooter issued the following tips to prevent trouble during Thanksgiving weekend, to prevent drain trouble. A. These aren't numbered or anything.
A.
One, A. Never pour grease, turkey drippings, or cooking oil down drains.
That's it.
We just covered that.
Yeah.
They solidify in pipes like candle wax and choke drains.
Mm-hmm.
Do not put potato peels, poultry skins, bones, rice, or pasta down the garbage disposal. Disposals can handle small quantities of scraps, but most food should go into the trash can or...
the compost pile.
The compost pile! Very good. Yes. Well done. Make sure the garbage disposal is running when you add food scraps. Yeah.
Don't put your hand in there.
Turn it on first, then pour the thing down. Right? You know, if you're gonna...
run the water. Come on. Come on, guys.
Yeah, this is...
don't eat yellow snow. Come on.
Who wants a garbage disposal anymore? They still make
them. I've never had one.
I wish I had one.
My grandparents had one, yeah. But then, you know, eventually you stop using it because it's like, oh, just
it's all clogged up.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's all clogged. Just put it in the trash.
I don't have one in my house, and also I don't like when my trash can in the kitchen gets stinky. Right, and
yeah.
If you put food scraps, particularly like produce, right, I go through like avocados, for example, right, the peels and the whatever they go in the trash can.
What?
If it sits for more than 2 days, it starts to stink.
Those should go in the compost pile.
Well, so I don't have a garden, so I don't have a compost pile. But
if you had a compost pile, then you'd have a garden.
I used to live in a place that did, and I got in the habit of putting all of my food scraps into a thing
and
on
then
the
you
counter.
Throw it away separate.
And the thing on the counter is like a temporary compost pile thing. So instead of that, because I don't have a thing on the counter to put the compost in, I just use a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
And I will chuck all of my food scraps into, you know, the Ziploc bag, and I will leave it in the refrigerator.
Oh, if you leave banana peels out, you get all those fruit flies, then you get the little...
But if you put the banana peels and the avocado peels and your chicken carcass and your leftover fats from your steak or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
All of your food scraps, if you just put them in a Ziploc bag in the refrigerator.
Zip it and put it in
Zip
there.
It. You put it in the refrigerator. No stink.
And then you just throw zip it and throw it out.
Yeah. When trash day comes around, you open up the fridge, go, what do I have to throw out? Oh, look, it's this bag of compost. Right.
Right.
And then you chuck it in the trash. Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
Sally's your aunt.
Right. Sally is my aunt. How did you know? Have you met? Right.
Yeah.
So
what does B say? A was the garbage disposal. No.
Oh yeah, B? we're way beyond B now. We're on to like C or D. Don't flush wet wipes down the toilets.
Really?
Yeah. Like
it says it on the package in bold leather.
Handy wipes. What's the other one? Royal Bowl. That's the brand name of the wet naps.
Oh.
Wet Nap is a brand name as well.
And you know what? Even the flushable wipes, you're not supposed to.
Mm. Yeah, most won't dissolve and may clog drain pipes and sewers.
Oh.
And then here's another tip. Place plungers in guest bathrooms to save guests the embarrassment of asking for one.
That's a nice,
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I move into a place, if I don't have one, the first thing I do is get a plunger next to the toilet. Regardless of how many bathrooms are in the place, I'll get one for each bathroom because of that. Right? Like,
and an extra roll of toilet paper. You want that, too.
You do want to make sure that there's, you know, an extra roll on hand should your guest bathroom run out of toilet paper if you have a guest bathroom.
So they don't have to run down the hall and tell you.
And then they also say make sure that you have your poop knife mounted on the wall next to the toilet. It doesn't say that. I just made that up as a callback to last week.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You got a poop knife?
Come on. Hey, Bill, where's your poop knife?
My what?
You don't have one?
And then finally, spread out showers and laundry loads so pipes have time to drain. So
honestly, I'm not going to do any of this.
Are you going to take a shower while the laundry is going? I never do that because the laundry will kick in and you'll either lose pressure or the water will get really hot or really cold.
Yeah, I wash my laundry in cold water.
Me too.
So.
But then, like, the shower becomes piping hot once the cold water kicks in.
Oh.
Then your plumbing is wrong.
Well.
Yeah, you need better.
My house is 130 years old. Right. It's as right as it's going
to
get. Yeah,
welcome to New Hampshire.
Yeah. It's as right as it's going to get, right? Like, everything works and flows.
This thing called plumbing. Let's put it in your house, right, 100 years ago. We got plumbing. Copper pipes.
I mean, to that extent, like, the plumbing in my house has been replaced once already. There's a whole lot of what they call PEX in there.
Oh, yeah. The
PEX which is stuff. Great. But there is still some copper. I actually have cast iron
pipe
for the sewer drainage. But, I've had to replace most of that since I bought the place.
Yeah. You think the compost is stinky?
Yeah. Also, if you have cast iron, sewer pipe in your basement and your house is, old, it's kind of subjective, but don't tap on it, because if that iron pipe has been, your sewer drainage pipe for a period of time, those things actually corrode, kind of like
they rust.
Like your arteries, and it becomes thinner and thinner. And if you tap on one of these iron things with like a screwdriver or a wrench or something, it will break.
How do you know?
Well,
tough luck.
I actually know from my real estate agent, whom we were doing an inspection on a house, not the one that I bought, but a different house.
And you did
and
that?
I had like one of these flashlights, the mag light type looking things, because they're in the basement type thing. And I was like, oh, is this cast iron? She's like, and I go to hit it. She's like, don't do that. And I'm like, don't what? She's like, no, that's cast iron. And like, I hadn't bought the plate. I was just having it inspected, right? And so like, she didn't want me to be on the hook for having to do a repair to somebody else's house.
You break it, you bought it.
Yeah. So good on her. But also she's like, look, you're in New England. These houses are old as F. And, here's some
iron pipe.
Yeah, she's like, I've been around for a long time. Trust me. Don't do that. And so then when I bought my house, I was having some work done on it. Somebody's in the basement. And they're like, hey, is this cast iron? And I'm like, no, don't do that. Because I had already had an incident with one of the cast iron pieces breaking, and I had to have it replaced. I did replace it with PVC, of course.
Right.
So, which is the better material.
Yep.
Because it's
modern.
Not going to corrode like that.
Right.
So,
it'll screw up the environment, but it won't corrode.
Minor detail.
I mean,
Bob's your uncle. I don't know.
You know, human beings screw up the environment just as a, you know, cause of existence.
Yeah. I don't have any. I have pecs in my house.
Yeah.
It's great.
I wonder what's worse for the environment, all of the pharmaceuticals and people's poop, or the pipes or the PVC piping. Right.
I don't know, but I do know that folks who work at the community filtration sites, right? So if you live in a city
plant?
Or whatever, yeah, it's
sewer
where all
treatment.
The sewer treatment
yeah.
facility, right? Yeah. They have a series of filters, so they filter out all of the, you know, the feces or whatever.
Yep.
And
solids.
Then,
they sort it.
Yeah, and they sort it. And so the number one thing.
The number one thing?
The largest quantity of things that are filtered out of human waste are pills and vitamins.
That come out whole?
Whole, yeah. So people will take, like a one-a-day vitamin or a Flintstone vitamin. Or
it doesn't
even dissolve
in their stomach acid?
Most of these don't.
Wow.
Right? They're coated with stuff that is your stomach acid is supposed to erode away, and then your stomach is supposed to digest whatever's inside of the coating.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen most of the time.
Really?
And
they
so
must have
these
some
filtration
light.
Plants will become filled with pills and vitamins.
I wonder if they resell them after.
I don't know.
Is that
legal?
Vitamins?
Reduce, reuse, recycle. Come
Give
on.
That new meaning to twice baked potato.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, so.
Now that everyone's stopped listening to this show.
Call Roto-Rooter.
It is our number two story.
Yeah.
So I had a point about telling that story, though.
This
about the vitamin. So if you're going to take supplements of any kind, my personal recommendation is that you grind them.
Or tincture.
Or a powder.
Yeah, powder.
Put a powder and, you know, sprinkle it on your food or whatever. If you've...
Yeah, so typically, like, capsules, some things are timed released.
Right.
So, like, as far as medications go, so you, like, need them to be that way. But a lot of vitamins in general, I mean, like, the one-a-day, all of those B vitamins and water-soluble vitamins that has, like, 500% of the B12 you need per day.
Yeah.
You're not going to absorb that anyway, so
right.
even if the pill dissolves, you're just going to pee all that out.
Yep.
Like, it's just... Expensive pee is really what most vitamins are.
603-283-6160. Hour number three of Free Talk Live. Still to come, who is tops of North American economic freedom? We'll talk about that. It's Free Talk Live.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.